At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
With the Redfin app, you'll know the moment your next place hits the market. Whether you're looking to buy your dream home or rent a sweet apartment, give Redfin your gotta-have-it wish list of property features, and you'll receive real-time notifications tailored just for you. Ready to see it up close and personal? Scheduling a tour is just a tap away. Don't wait to find your perfect match. Download the Redfin app and start searching today.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick. We're taking a break from our expectation series to do a recollections show. And this is an interesting one. I would never have guessed someone really wanted to talk about him, but we're going to talk about the career of James Hurst with the Baltimore Ravens. And here to do it with us is Miggy Duran. Miggy, how you doing?
I'm very good, Ken. How are you?
Thank you very much for joining us. First of all, where are you joining us from? Tell people that.
Yeah, I am from Central Mexico, actually the very, very, very center part. If you could draw a belly button in Mexico, that's exactly where we're from.
Okay.
Born and raised, you won't find a lot of Ravens fans around here. You know, NFL is growing a lot around here, but you will find a lot of Steelers, 49ers, Dallas, those old teams, but every once in a while, we'll run to a guy who's wearing a Ravens cap, and it's you know, we'll both look at ourselves and smile. You know, it's nice to find all of those guys.
All right, now a lot of Raiders fans, as I understand it, in Mexico too, and it's a regional team. They have some draw. How about the Rams and the Chargers?
Rams and Chargers, not so much. Raiders, yeah, certainly they are. They're you know, there's a lot of Latino community on Oakland, so. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that has a lot to do with the Raiders.
All right. Well, outstanding. We appreciate you coming on. And folks, I've had Miggy on before, and his football knowledge is very good. So we're going to – he wouldn't have picked a player like James Hurst if he didn't really have some understanding about the game. But let's talk a little bit about James Hurst. And first of all, why did you pick him?
I was just thinking of you know, the regular guys, when I saw that recollection series, I was thinking, okay, you could talk about a lot of great guys, but they're like the main guys. But I thought to give it like a little deviation from there, like, who's the guy that probably I like better? It's not like he's probably not going to be in the Mount Rushmore of anything, but he was certainly better than what people realize, or it was better to have a James Hurst at some points than not. And it's a good story from here coming from as a UDFA, and suddenly out of nowhere he spent 10 years in the league when a lot of people was projecting he was going to never sign a second contract and being around the league a lot, but he didn't.
It really goes to show you a lot of things. First of all, that if you have some ability to play tackle or even offensive line in general at above the replacement level, you can stay in the league for a long time. And one of the things about Hurst's career is he's stayed remarkably healthy, 150 games. That's a big milestone, by the way, in 10 years.
Yeah. And especially in New Orleans, and when I saw that, he started 51 games there. That's a lot. And as you said, you need to be healthy to be able to achieve that. He make it.
So 90 games, 44 of those starts with the Ravens, 51 more starts among 60 games with the Saints. I don't think he was knocking on the Ravens' door to get back and retire a Raven here. And he announced his retirement earlier this year, I believe, and was not going to play in 24. Nice story, but I think – you know, James Hurst will kind of associate himself with the Saints rather than the Ravens.
I think especially he was this starter for most, let's say he was the first option to be the starter at various points with the Saints. And suddenly he was, as you said, he was the rock of that offensive line. They started to get a lot of injury guys with Eric McCoy being down, Ryan Ramczyk. I can't remember the guy that was drafted the past year. I think it was Trevor Penning.
Trevor Penning.
Without him being able to be there, James Hurst was the rock of that line at some point. I mean, not as a very good player, but probably as the guy who was always there, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, so in the Ravens was just very, very maligned player. So yeah, I would say he's more a Saint. He's a Raven.
Just to tie up his Saints career, he did spend 3 years from 19 to 21 as the starting left tackle for the Saints for a lot of that time. And then he was the starting left guard again in 23. So he played right tackle for the Ravens in 18. A lot of people remember that. Mm-hmm. He kind of held up the start to the career of Orlando Brown.
Yeah, but I remember a lot of people was calling Orlando Brown for all of the games that I think James Hurst started 10 games. I remember it was more than that. Weeks, people was claiming, why is not Orlando Brown starting if he's that good of a tackle? Suddenly, Orlando Brown stayed there as right tackle and never left. Was until he basically left the Ravens, he stayed in the field. At this time, I still don't know why Harbaugh didn't insert Orlando Brown earlier. But James Hurst felt well while he was playing there.
Yeah, and four of Hurst's starts came at left guard at the end of that year. So he started 10 games, but it was only the first six at right tackle. They did a lot of things, I thought, in Baltimore. And obviously from 2014 to 16, Hurst had a lot of trouble. He was really targeted by opposing pass rushers and opposing defensive coordinators in terms of scheme to try and beat on the blitz.
Yeah, but and especially I remember a lot, and I was rewatching for this series the game of the playoff of the 2014 against the Steelers. Mm-hmm. He was getting abused by James Harrison in the first quarter. I was trying to chart it, and I said, okay, I cannot chart that much because at the first snap, he loses in a run play. Third snap, he's giving a pressure. Second series, he just... he gives up a pressure. He gives that James Harrison was just all over him. And James Harrison, I would say, James Harrison was just going at him. He was just ball rushing him the whole game. You know, every snap he was just ball rushing, making a pressure. And suddenly, I don't know why, but the Steelers start to dropping James Harrison and putting Cam Hayward on him. They just did him a great favor in that playoff game against the Steelers.
I'm trying to remember what number James Harrison was wearing back then, because it looks like most of the damage was done by 95 in this game. And that might have been Harrison at that point. I'm not 100% sure, and I have to look that up. But I've got that first half. You're mentioning. I've got in that first half. I've got beaten inside by 95, beaten outside by 95 for QH, beaten outside by 95 for QH, bulled by 95 and bulled by 95. Five separate pressure events. And that's just in the first half. Let's see if that even gets us to the end of the first half, because the Ravens are playing pretty well still in this one.
Suddenly, I didn't understand why are the Steelers dropping Harrison and putting Cam Hayward on. I mean, he's still a pretty damn good player, right? But he was just getting an easier matchup with Hayward rather than Harrison. I couldn't understand why he was playing against Hurst. But suddenly, the Ravens start running when the game was going to the Ravens side. The third quarter, the Ravens start running on the left side because Janda was playing right tackle at that game. So it was like one of the weirdest lines I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was, Hurst was playing left tackle, Osemele was a left guard, I think it was Suta, the center. Arshul was the right guard, and Janda was the right tackle. So that wasn't by any means the best combination the Ravens had. But certainly it was working. And the Ravens decided just to let Hurst find a work in the second level and just allowing Osemele to open up a lot of holes. And they just won a playoff game away in Pittsburgh with James Hurst as a starting left tackle. That was remarkable.
The guy I have is wearing number 95 is Jay Jones. And I didn't write down on the score sheet, but I don't know who that is. I've got a, is there something wrong with this? Cause it's maybe I have the number wrong. I mean, that's possible. It might've been 92 when I'm writing it down as 95 somehow. It doesn't seem likely, but that I would get it wrong that many times, but interesting. Anyway, one of the things about Hurst is he never really had a good playoff game with the Ravens. He obviously had a bad one there. He had a tough one the following week against New England. And then he had a really tough one in 2018 when he didn't play much, but he was in there for 13 pass snaps and allowed several sacks against the Chargers in that notable loss.
Yeah, and he didn't play that much. We were just discussing the Ravens used three left guards in that game, and they all played really bad. Mm-hmm. And the thing was, James Hurst didn't start as a left guard until Alex Lewis went down. It was in the Tennessee game, that the Tennessee game when the Ravens broke the record in sacks. Alex yep. Lewis went down. I think he went down in the third quarter, and that in that game, Bozeman came as a left guard, but suddenly the Ravens realized Bozeman wasn't ready and then inserted James Hurst in there. And that's where the value of James Hurst was. He was just ready to play. Maybe not the best play you would get, but suddenly it was a guy that could be plugged in as a left tackle, left guard, and right tackle. You know, that versatility was something that you cannot value enough.
No. Yeah, I agree with that. Do you think there's a current Raven that kind of fits that same mold?
Yeah, there's a guy that I have seen. He played the five positions, and I'm not sure if McCarty started a regular season game as a right guard. Other than that, he has started NFL games in all of the other positions as a left tackle. You know, he's a swing tackle. He's played left guard and, you know, even center as a rookie, as a also UDFA tackle.
Mm-hmm. So similar in all the ways. A short arm guy and a guy who didn't have, you know, ideal characteristics to play left tackle, but a high effort guy. And each of them got a second payday from the Ravens. The Ravens realized their value in both cases of that versatility and really paid for it.
Yeah, and when I was just making some digging for this episode, I realized that the contract the Ravens gave to James Hurst, it was 4 years, $17.5 million. Mm-hmm. That's bigger than I thought, you know, especially as we've discussed, as a much maligned guy. Suddenly the Ravens value that six-man as a lot of other teams don't. We know the Packers have a guy, I think it's Elton Jenkins, the guy that also is like a old position in the O-line guy. But not a lot of people value that position that is just a plug-and-play guy. If you could have it on the bench and suddenly come and play, knows the offense and all of that, that's something invaluable. The Ravens have an upgrade in McCarty because McCarty can play at an average level, at least three positions. He's not going to lose you a game. But having that, it's basically invaluable. And sometimes it has been discussed like using McCarty as a trade asset. But the Ravens would lose a lot if at some point they lose McCarty.
Right. I mean, in some ways, McCarty's been such an important backup left tackle that they haven't been able to really make use of his versatility these last couple of years. because Stanley's been the one who's been in danger. But again, that has value. If you can, if you still have a bullet in the chamber to solve your problem here, that's a you know, that's a good thing. And McCary's been a valuable asset like that. Let's get back to Hurst for a little bit, though. One of the things I noted was he really did not get penalized a lot in his career. And the Ravens have some juxtaposition in terms of recent years with John Simpson at left guard, with Michael Orr at left tackle and right tackle being guys who were penalized an awful lot. But Hurst, not really a whole lot of penalties in his career.
Yeah, and he was a clean technique guy. You know, he was trying to do like the right things, not trying to improvise a lot. He was just taking the steps he needed to. He was just beating by bigger, faster, stronger guys. The easiest way to go through him, it was going through him in the ball rush. But since he was that clean, he has that clean technique, I think that led to less penalties because he knows where to put his hands, where when to pull and when just let go.
Another thing I'd say about Hurst, and maybe does he fit the mold for you of the way the Ravens have developed alignment? I've got a couple ways in which I think he does, but how do you feel about it?
It's a project the Ravens could not develop at the time they would like to, because when he started as a left tackle, it was never the plan. Mm-hmm. Because the Ravens had Eugene Monroe. He was the guy that was supposed to be there. And I could think that Hurst could have benefited of waiting a little bit instead of just throwing to the fire, trial by fire. There are things that need to be worked outside of the field that Hurst couldn't do it. And the Ravens have been able to develop guys.
Didn't you know it's possible to get THC shipped right to your door? Mood delivers premium, 100% federally legal THC directly to you. I'm talking about delicious, high-potency gummies, top-shelf flower, home-baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary, you can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. And every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code RAVENS. So head to mood.com/ravens, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code RAVENS when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
You're a startup founder. Finding product market fit is probably your number one priority. But to land bigger customers, you also need security compliance. Obtaining your SOC 2 or ISO 27001 certification can open those big doors, but they take time and energy, pulling you away from building and shipping. That's where Vanta comes in. Vanta is the all-in-one compliance solution helping startups get audit ready and build a strong security foundation quickly and painlessly. Vanta automates the manual security tasks that slow you down, helping you streamline your audit. The platform connects you with trusted experts to build your program, auditors to get you through audits quickly, and a marketplace for essentials like pen testing. So whether you're closing your first deal or gearing up for growth, Vanta makes compliance easy. Join over 8,000 companies, including Y Combinator and Techstars startups, who trust Vanta. For a limited time, get $1,000 off Vanta at vanta.com/simplify. That's vanta.com/simplify for $1,000 off.
Guys like Jensen, guys like Orlando Brown himself, yeah. Bowers, guys waiting on the bench, that they won't develop certain things in a bad way by not being prepared, but being there, you know?
I certainly respect that, and the fact that Hurst had to play in 2014 and didn't play well is not all on him. Certainly the Ravens certainly would have loved to wait to put him in, and honestly, left tackle is a hell with Joe Flacco is a hell of a lot worse than right tackle with Lamar Jackson. It's a completely different story in terms of you know the risk you're putting your quarterback and your offense in jeopardy from having that. There's a couple things about Hurst. One is he really followed a Ravens-esque development track of becoming a good player just about when he was ready to go. His fourth season, he had a good year for the Ravens. In fact, his third season, he had a really good year for the Ravens, playing nearly 100% of the snaps at left guard. They had turned him into that was his fourth season, 2017, his fourth season. Yeah. So played nearly 100% of the snaps at left guard. And he became a really high volume puller, which is the other developmental track, is the Ravens have a tremendous record of turning very average athletes. And James Hurst is certainly that into good pulling guards.
Yeah. And that was the Ravens stamp, pulling left to right in a power play. That's the Ravens stamp, and we've been seeing over the years of horrible years, develop guys doing that. Mm-hmm. Just putting John Simpson to pull, like this huge guy, suddenly he's running left to right, and he's doing well. He's not tripping over the Sanders and all of that. James Hurst, you could rarely see him like tripping over Sanders, tripping over players. He was, as we speak, like a clean technique guy. He would benefit a lot of not needing to open the door for the running backs, but just running and waiting someone to and hit him.
Yeah, I think we've seen that clean technique from a lot of players who Morgan Moses had his best run blocking years, I think, with the Ravens late in his career, including a lot of really nice pulls, really good field vision. I think there's more to it than just the footwork, but the footwork under Dallas Sanders has been outstanding. And it's really been something the Ravens can look at. I'm happy to be watching with Maureen a lot of 2005 right now, working backwards through the Ravens seasons to do more offensive line scoring and, you know, just extend the data we have. And the 2005 season is filled with terrible footwork from center. And Mike Flynn was a longtime Raven, but his footwork was not good. And the guys to either side of him were giving him a lot of trouble. And so was the quarterback. Kyle Bullard just was not in full control of his body, it seemed like, a lot of the time. His body moved slower than his mind did, maybe. Kedrick Vincent was stepping on the center's foot. He's stepping on the quarterback's foot. There's one play in particular where Bowler gets both of his feet stepped on the same play, which is just, to me, is incredible. Should be low. But anyway, back to Hurst for a second. Let's talk about his moments as a Raven, and obviously not all of them are great. We can talk about the 2017 season. We're missing a playoff appearance in that season, unfortunately. But to you, what are some of the moments for James Hurst that you remember and think are worth talking about?
Okay, so in that, I'm going to go back to the 14 and 15. I was watching some games of the 15. Ravens knew the limitations they had with him by not being able the guy to trust to suddenly push a guy from the line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. And they decided to put him on the second level. Like, okay, go there and find a guy probably lighter than you so you could push him. And you could see, like, I'm going back to the, I think it was the Chargers game I was watching today. He was doing a very good job of finding where is the little guy, where is the inside linebacker, where is the corner, the safety that come, and he was just abusing them because he was bigger than them. He was in a good position. So that was something that he took advantage and he looked good in those run plays. Again, surviving that 2014 playoff game as a UDFA, nobody expected him to be there. And he just, the Ravens survived with him. That's something that having a guy against the Steelers way could break any game, you know, as a left tackle, especially with a guy like Joe Flacco, who wasn't the most mobile quarterback of all time. Mm-hmm. So that was very good for him. He's going to be remembered, and that's a shame. He's going to be remembered that that's the guy who fell on Joe's knee in that game against the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever thinking about James Harden's moments, that moment is going to come, you know.
It was a bad moment. 2015 was a terrible season. It honestly, in the end, it didn't really matter whether Joe Flacco was healthy or not. That team was not going anywhere. And the 2016, after Flacco's injury, they did have the number 6 overall pick and got Ronnie Stanley. So they made use of the down year. I'm really not a believer in tanking at all. You've heard me say on this show any number of times, I want levelized, consistent performance that has a chance to contend every year, because that's what I'm paying for as a season ticket holder. I don't want my tickets to be worthless. So don't tell my team to tank when I'm going to have to go to those games. You're pulling money directly out of my pocket. Anyway, that's my feeling about it. But anyway, I appreciated that the Ravens kept trying in 2015, but honestly, they got really good value out of Ronnie Stanley in that 2016 draft.
Yeah. And going back to the point of tanking, we actually did a show a couple of years back. I don't know if you remember. We were talking about sustainable way to win or versus tanking, and I completely agree with you. It actually doesn't work even as a football level. Tanking hasn't been proved being 100% sure that you're gonna find a good player, even with the first overall. We've seen Bryce Young, Baker Mayfield, Trayvon Walker with the Jaguars. You're not getting that big word.
I appreciate you're taking some recent players there, because if you go back far enough, the evidence is actually pretty strong that the first overall pick was getting so much money right off the bat that it made teams not want it. So players like, it wasn't just that Jamarcus Russell was the guy the Raiders had to pick and pay. It's the fact that there was no market for that selection. They wouldn't have gotten very much for it to trade down. And it's just one of those things.
Yeah. And it was just a parenthesis, but yeah, I do agree. And I don't care if the Ravens pick in the 20s every year. They're going to find someone, you know.
2017 would be the other thing I would point to as being a highlight of, it's certainly Hurst's career high as a Ravens, because he played 100% of the snaps, played pretty well at left guard, high pull volume. Ravens re-signed him to a long-term contract. It was a 4-year deal, and he ended up playing 2 of those seasons. So the Ravens ended up paying him $9.5 million for 2 years. They got out of $8 million, walked away from $8 million of the cost of that contract. And then the Saints picked him up, and remarkably, he was a pretty good player for them for right up until 2023.
Yeah, and as we discussed in the production meeting, he's certainly going to, if he needed to retire a player, I don't think he's that important of a player to say, I'm going to retire that team. Mm-hmm. He's certainly, if he had to, he's going to retire saying he was the starting left tackle for a lot of those years that he spent there. He had, or he lived the, I think it's Terron Armstead, the guy who was the left tackle, the perennial left tackle that was perennially hurt too. So he was just playing there. He was the rock of that line. He was every down, every game. He's such a durable player, and they like him in there. Just to be starting 51 times for the New Orleans Saints, which is a lot.
I did end up playing 2 playoff games with the Saints in 2020. They won one game there. He won the very first game he played in the playoffs with the Ravens against the Steelers when they finally got over the curse. And he played all the snaps in that game and the next week against New England, where he didn't play as well. But really good. Good. You got to play 6 postseason games. Not like he played them all during the regular season. 150 during the regular season is really a terrific milestone. What else about James Hurst did you want to say? I mean, in terms of individual moments, there aren't a lot for a player like this.
Yeah. And as a lineman, you're not gonna find this highlight where it's easier. Even you can make a highlight video of Richard Perryman, right? But as a lineman, you're not gonna find something like that. But Nikhyssen James-Kirsten, as a lineman, it's an every down job that not a lot of the time is going to be rewarded. It's James-Kirsten just kept doing his job for staying in the league 10 years, staying signing contracts. And not, I don't think he ever played for the minimum. And that's something to point. And he's just a total pro and someone that UDFAs should look and see what James Hurst did to stay that long. Because you don't have that pedigree of being selected in the NFL draft. That's going to open doors to some guys, but not to the UDFAs. So I just gotta say, it's a guy that had all the odds against him.
That's a great point you're making about him being a UDFA, because I did mean to mention this on the show. Is I was at the absolute peak of my excitement about James Hurst in the 2014 preseason. It was unfolding before our eyes that this guy was going to be the backup left tackle and make the team. People with left tackle qualities, left tackle feet in particular, are not particularly common. Hurst was there. He pretty much had enough lateral mobility to get by at that position. He lacked some other things, but an anchor, arm length was an issue for him. But he didn't. He had the lateral mobility I think he needed to play that position for the time he did. And it's why he became a pretty good pass blocker in the NFL. But that was kind of the highlight for me in some ways of James Hurst's career, was those preseason games in 2014 and just how damn well he was playing then to earn that spot and be a UDFA left tackle. I remember how excited I was to have generated a UDFA left tackle for the team. I mean, you just think about how rare left tackle qualities are. And frankly, if you look at the length of Hurst's career, it's a testament to how rare those qualities are that he can stay around.
Yeah, and I'm going to say this. Ravens would be very excited to have a project like that in the roster. Mm-hmm. I don't think they have a guy like that. I mean, I'm talking about the UDFA or a first contract guy that could play, but he's not that good. The Ravens would be jumping up and down if they had a guy like that. They have a guy like McCarrie, but they are not paying, let's say, six-man market money.
Yeah.
But having a guy like that, especially in the first contract, it's like a very good asset.
Now, Falele is not an undrafted guy. He's a draft pick. I mean, they have some investment in him. But at this point, he may as well have come in as undrafted, because whatever draft cost they spent on him is sunk. How would you rank Falele going into year three relative to Hurst going into year three?
That's very tough, because I don't think Falele can play left tackle.
Yeah.
Like at any decent level. James Hurst had a lot of help during his career, having Kelechi Emili or Marshall Janda to the right, and suddenly helped by Crockett Gilmore, Nick Boyle. All of those guys is going to help, but I don't think even with that help, Daniel Falele could give results, at least of what we have seen in that, these past 2 years. Suddenly, if he hired some guru or some, some witch or something that made him better. I don't know. I don't mean to say, what I'm trying to say is there's a chance, but it's not a good one.
All right. Very good. I respect your opinion on that. Miggy, always a pleasure to talk football with you. I'm sure there's a lot of people who'd like to reach out to you online, impressed by your understanding and knowledge of the history of the Ravens just from this show. Where can folks talk football with you?
I'm just on Twitter. You can find me as Miguel. It's MIGUEDURN on Twitter. Miguel Durn. I don't put the A in there just to have this Twitter handle. And that's just send me a tweet and we can talk about whatever they want, about Ravens related.
And if you're interested, I will put Miggy's Twitter handle in when I post this show. So look back to that and you'll have a chance to contact him. Other folks out there, if you'd like to be on a Film Study Short, Recollection series you can do, something else. Maybe you are looking forward to the 2024 Ravens and you have an not exactly an expectation show you want to do, but you have something else schematically you want to talk about, or a big camp battle you think is at the center of everything, or a roster building choice the Ravens need to make, DM me. They're always open on Twitter. We'll figure out the right show to get you on, whether it's a one-on-one with me or maybe bring you on Friday morning GM, whatever it might be, to talk about these topics. Miggy, thanks again for coming on.
Thanks again for having me.
And we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel, because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Access big savings every day, all in the Kroger app.
Get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breast for $2.49 a pound. Then find low prices on thousands of items like sparkling ice water, Kroger brand chips, and more, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.